Nevada's Attorney General Aaron Ford is joining a 47-state antitrust investigation into Facebook for, among other things, endangering consumer data. This comes after Facebook was scrutinized for its connections to now-defunct Cambridge Analytica, which harvested the personal data of millions of people's profiles without their consent and used it for political advertising purposes. One of those users was David Carroll, an associate professor of media design at Parsons School of Design in New York, and the recent subject of The Great Hack, a documentary about the scandal. He spoke with KUNR's Paul Boger to talk about how targeted ads can be used to influence how we vote.
You know, looking at social media and looking at kind of the landscape of how things like the Cambridge Analytica story unfolded or how social media was used to influence the 2016 election, when did you realize that the things in which you were seeing were being targeted to you specifically?
It is when you, try to build these things yourself that you kind of realize how the sausage is made. So it was a combination of trying to be a tech entrepreneur and build my own platforms that were providing new experiences, but had to monetize data in some way to make a business out of it. So in that way, building the thing, and then when you attach Facebook to it, and then all of a sudden you get somebody's Facebook identity attached to your service, and the person has unknowingly, sort of de-anonymized themselves. That, like, when they were just a user, they were just a faceless IP address. But then when they connected their Facebook account, they're now a real person. And then in terms of, when you run marketing campaigns and you build your own Facebook campaign and you realize that you can upload personal data right into Facebook to target people individually, whether that be email addresses or phone numbers or voter files, people are being targeted as individuals on these platforms. And people tend to think, oh, I'm just a demographic. I'm just a middle-aged person in this zip code. No, it's you.
And that's essentially what happened in 2016, right? That's essentially what we saw, but on a much grander scale than probably what anybody had ever even conceived of.
This feature, for example, that voter files could be uploaded into Facebook to target voters by name individually, that was a feature that was not available in the previous campaigns. It was sort of rolled out and field tested in 2016. So we didn't even know the possible effects of that kind of voter targeting in a previous election. So a very simple mechanic was sort of launched, and we're now figuring out if it had any effects or so on. But political consultants have told me that, it would be political malpractice now not to upload voter files into Facebook and not to micro-target voters this way. So it's standard practice now.
What do you mean by voter profiles?
We understand that what Cambridge Analytica did was not particularly unique among the industry. Basically, they took voter files and then they bought profiles on the open market from data brokers and they matched them to the voter files. So now your consumer profile is attached to your political profile. The unique thing that we understand Cambridge Analytica to have done that was not standard practice was the use of harvesting Facebook data to create the psychological profiles and the psychological models on top of that other enrichment.
So how prevalent was this? I mean, how prevalent is data mining in general?
It's a huge business, and it was developed that way to sell skin creams and ski vacations. And it was all for the purpose of trying to reduce the waste in advertising spending. So if you can more precisely target your ads, then you can feel like you're wasting less money on ads. And then when this was applied to political campaigns, the same principles were even more important and even more effective potentially. And it was just using off-the-shelf tools. And so in the same way, we just are using the systems as they were designed.
So this, I mean, is it fair to call this political interference in some ways, or is this, just the way campaigning works now?
I would say that it's normal and in some ways completely appropriate and essential, because on its foundation, the voter files are property of the republic. It is necessary to achieve voter turnout and to maximize participation, which is what everybody would want. The borders start to get murky when the voter files are enriched in ways that nobody is understanding, and we can't even access our own files. I think it becomes interference when this industry becomes international and you have foreign companies participating in this business. And ultimately, that was my original objection to Cambridge Analytica, is why is a British company interfering in our democracy?
So these targeted ads, what do they look like?
We're not even sure what it was because it wasn't made available to us. We don't know the specific material that was targeted to people. So it's still in darkness, it's shrouded in secrecy, and that's part of the basic problem. And we shouldn't assume that Cambridge Analytica was doing political ads in the conventional sense of, you know, a typical message that was really identifiable by someone as a political ad, and certainly may not have had the disclosure and this message approved by. The whistleblowers have come forward and documented examples or described ways that the company was doing things that would not be defined as normal political ads, going as far as creating, you know, so-called fake news sites that were creating fake content, using fake accounts to amplify things, creating, fake events that people were invited to, just a whole sort of wide-scale operation that goes far beyond the traditional sense of a political consultancy.
These companies that we're talking about, Cambridge Analytica in particular, targeted battleground states, including Nevada. You know, what does the average voter here need to look for when they're consuming media to make sure that they're not being played?
So there's one significant difference that from 2016 in 2020, and that the platforms have voluntarily provided some new ads transparency. This wasn't available before, but is now and has been voluntarily built by the companies in anticipation of regulation or to try to head it off. And so now political ads are more properly labeled by who paid for them. You get a better sense of when they ran and who they were targeted to and how much money was spent on them. So we can sort of peek into the campaigns themselves and see how they're messaging people. That's some layer of necessary transparency. It prevents, you know, nefarious uses of the way that you could make ads that only a tiny number of people see and therefore, you know, aren't being scrutinized. So at least now journalists are looking at these ads, they're scrutinizing the campaigns. This is an important layer of accountability. So I'm glad to see that. There's a lot more work to do. So in terms of, you should look at when you see a political ad, you know, look at it, who's paying for it. Similar things that you would do when you are scrutinizing something that comes in the mail, something that you see on television, where, you know, there's a little more equity there. And then also one thing you can do is go into your Facebook settings, deep, deep in the ad settings, dig really deep, and you'll find a section that shows all of the entities that have uploaded your personal data into Facebook. And many people are surprised to find that it's not just car dealers and retailers, but a lot of political campaigns and super PACs and things. So then you can know, when you see those, you can know for sure, wow, your voter file has been uploaded into Facebook, and you have been targeted for who you are. And you may agree with some of the politicians and campaigns that are in there, and you may find surprising ones. It's one of the few tools that you have at your disposal.